Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio, and now, the newest contestants on I Want to Be Paris Hilton's BFF, Jim Schmiedeberg and Joe Fortunato.
And good evening. Yeah, I want to be Paris Hilton's BFF. I wouldn't go anywhere near her. I can't stand her, actually. But what can I say? Promo girl gets a little out of control sometimes. Good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banter Radio, coming to you live this evening from Studio A. And I'm joined back this week after his visit to Yankee Stadium. Good evening, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I'm also back from vacation. Last week, even though I was here doing the show, I was on vacation somewhat last week. Took the family to Disney World for my birthday. That was a lot of fun. And for those of you listening, if you ever get the chance to go to Disney World on your birthday, by all means do it. Free admission, and they'll give you a birthday button, and you can milk it all night long. I scammed quite a few free things around the park for my birthday. But anyway, let's get down to business. We want to let you guys know we've had some. I know I put this up on the site the other day, but we just want to go over the schedule a little bit for you guys because we are as we get closer to the season, we are going to be moving the show. The reason for that is because the Rangers Wednesday nights. When we usually do our show, the Rangers have the most, I think they play the most games of the season on Wednesday nights. So obviously
like
we're not
14 gonna... games on Wednesday nights.
Yeah. So obviously we're not going to do a show while the game's on. So what we're going to do is starting in a couple of weeks, we're going to move to Tuesday nights. The Rangers have the least amount of games on Tuesday nights. So here's what we're going to do. Obviously, tonight we're on Wednesday. Next Wednesday night, we'll be on the air as usual. That'll be Wednesday, September 9th, 7 o'clock. And we're going to be joined by Jess from the Prospect Park. He's going to come on and talk to us about how the prospects are looking and talk a little bit about the Traverse City tournament that the Rangers will be playing in, which we'll get into in a little while. And then the following week, we are actually going to be on Monday night, which is September 14th. Now, the reason for that is because September 15th is a Tuesday, and that is the night of the Rangers' first preseason game. And then they have another game the following night on the 16th. So we're going to do a Monday show that week. We're going to come back and play on 5 days rest. And then the following week after that, which I believe will be September 22nd, we will begin every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. You can find us right here. So we're going to jump around a little bit the next couple of weeks. Like I said, tonight, next Wednesday night, then Monday night, and then we go to Tuesday nights. And that Monday night show, September 14th, that's another show you're not going to want to miss. We're going to be joined by Jim Cerny, who is the Rangers main writer on Rangers.com. Jim does a great job, and He's also got a new website of his own. It's called Jim Cerny's Rink Wrap. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do. The link is on our main page on the blog roll. It's a really good site. Jim's worked for the NHL. He's worked for the Fish Sticks out on Long Island, and now he's seen the light, and he works for the Rangers. So he's going to join us in a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to talking with him. He's a really good guy. I was able to meet him at the draft and talk to him a little bit. So I'm looking forward to having him on. And we've hopefully got some other things lined up for as we get closer to the season, but we'll go over that when the time comes. So and I'll give you guys the schedule again before the end of the show. I don't want to beat it to death, but I just want to make sure that everybody that's listening knows what we're doing with the schedule. Frosty, come on, you don't need a roadmap to find us. We're doing our best to accommodate you guys. We want to try and make sure we're on the air every week, and this was the only way we could do it. And like I said, we don't want to be on the air when there's games, so that's what we had to do with the schedule. Now, as far as during the season, what we're going to do on when the Rangers do play on Tuesday nights, we haven't quite figured that out yet. Joe and I, we're going to have to take a look at the schedule and see what we're going to do. I don't know if we want to just reschedule those weeks, do shows on different nights, if we want to do a pregame show or a postgame show. We'll figure it out. But one way or the other, we're always here for you. Frosty, this show is way more entertaining than Hell's Kitchen. Hell's Kitchen's always the same, that British guy just screaming and yelling at bad chefs. So anyway, where are we tonight? Let's see. Why don't we talk about a little bit about the Fantasy Hockey League. Let's get that out of the way at the top of the show. I'm going to make the announcement tomorrow on the site. I just have to write it up tonight. We are going to have a Blue Shirt Banner Fantasy Hockey League on Yahoo.com. They have fantasy hockey, and we will be having the Blue Shirt Banner Fantasy Hockey League, Blue Shirt Banner FHL for short. So you can sign up if you want to have it. If you want to have your own team, you can go ahead and email me at blueshirtbanter@gmail.com, and I will send you the invitation. We have currently 13 slots left. I have a team. Joe have a team. Ryan McFadden will have a team. So we have a maximum of 16 teams in the league. There's going to be two divisions. So as of right now, we have 13 slots left. And what we'll do is, we're going to have two divisions. It's going to be a head-to-head league. What that means is there'll be a variety of offensive and goaltender categories, and your players will accumulate stats in those categories. And if your numbers, if you have more points in those categories than the team you're playing that week, you win that category, and you get a point for each category you win. Each week you're matched up against a different team in the league. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a lot of fun with it and as the season goes on. So just go ahead and email me. Again, it's blueshirtbanter@gmail.com. And we have 13 slots for you guys. All right? So, here we are another week. And let's hear it. There it is. Red alert. Brandon, you know what? We're gonna do that. Hold on. I'm gonna play that one more time because now we're getting critical. So, cue the claxon. Where is it? There it is. Red alert. All
critical
stations.
Alert. Critical alert.
Critical. Well, I don't know if it's critical. Brandon Dubinsky, still unsigned, and I kept saying all summer long that if we got to this point and he still wasn't signed, then I'd be worried. And to be quite honest with you, I was starting to get a little nervous about it, about what was going on. But after the brief interview that he did with Steve Zippe in Newsday the other day, where he said that he wants to be a Ranger and he's confident that it's going to get done, he was there on the ice and the pre-camp practices that the Rangers were doing, and he said he's just going to leave it to the business guys to get it done because that's what they get paid for. So I'm not worried about it. I think that the news will come any day. I keep checking my email. I keep hoping I'll get that release from the Rangers that Brandon Dubinsky has signed. It hasn't come yet, but like I said, I'm not worried about it. I think everything's going to work out just fine, and everybody will be happy, including the fans. Joe, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I don't know if any of you fully read Zippy's interview with Brandon Dubinsky, but he did seem optimistic. He did say that there was obviously some problems. That was not a surprise. We all could have figured out that there was some type of a roadblock during the talks. Our guess is as good as yours. I'm going to say that it is probably because of the years. We've gone over this, but Dubinsky probably wants a one-year deal so he can keep his arbitration rights. He can also keep his free agency right, and Glenn Sather obviously wants to lock him up long-term. But, again, I would be very happy to see him in a one-year $700,000 deal. He wants to be a Ranger. He said he wants to be a Ranger. Again, he'll be a Ranger. At this stage in the game, there's no worries. He's working out with the New York Rangers right now, so obviously he is not looking for another place to go. And, like you said, Jim, it's just a matter of time now. He said they're not in serious talks, but it only takes one conversation to make that change. So expect him to be there in his boxer shorts, and as you like to say, turn your head, Brandon, cough.
Turn your head and cough. That's right. That's what I've said all along. Joe, why don't we, before we get into anything else, why don't we grab a phone call here. The number to call in, as always, 646-478-4692. Call up anything you guys want to talk about. We're here for you at Blue Shirt Banner Radio. And 786, you are on the air. Who's this?
This is Bob from Miami. How you guys doing? Join the
table. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Up to the computer. Yeah, Bob, I just want to tell you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You threw me a curveball. I didn't recognize your number.
Right, I went now through the computer for long distance. I joined the 22nd century or whatever the hell this is now. So, whatever.
Well, welcome.
Yes. Anyway. I just want to say that in your absence in Joe writing the blog, there were some really great articles, especially about the young kids, which obviously I enjoy the most. And I wanted to thank Joe for that. They were very informative, and I enjoyed them.
Well, yes, you're very welcome. Joe. It was a little brainchild of mine. Just to let all of you know who are reading those articles, Jess from the Prospect Park, which is theprospectpark.blogspot.com, he is a credentialed writer who does a lot of work with prospects, and I shot him an email and asked if he'd like to help. And, you know, the little quote you read is his official reviews, but thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoy them. I have four more on the way. I won't reveal any names yet, but they'll be out there before training camp starts up, so I hope you enjoy them.
I appreciate them all, and, of course, I do read his blog also, which is, you know, you're the two main blogs that I read, and from the newspapers, it's just Zippy because he's really the only New York writer that actually seems to do his job. The rest seem to be asleep until the games start. But in any case, my real comment tonight is the one that always intrigues me. It always seems that every team gets the home ice advantage in calls, but the Rangers never get any home ice advantage. As a matter of fact, it always seems the calls go against us. I was wondering, is it just my paranoia, or do you guys see the same thing?
Well, you know, I've always, you know, there are times where I'll sit here screaming at the TV, especially with Sean Avery, the abuse he seems to take. But, you know, I think if you asked all the hockey fans in the country or in the league, if they felt their team gets a fair shake from the referees, you might get 15% of them that said yes. I think everybody complains that their team is treated unfairly by referees. As a Ranger fan, I certainly say, you know, it seems like a lot of things get missed when it comes to calling penalties on the Rangers. But you know, there's an anti-Ranger sentiment throughout the league. You know, they're the team everybody loves to hate. So, you know, if that's true or not, who knows? But I don't think you're paranoid. But, you know, how would we ever prove it?
Yeah, I mean,
Puck Daddy did a story about this, and I'm loading it up on my computer now, where he breaks down the percentages for basically the percentages of penalties called for and against teams. And the New York Rangers were pretty much right about in the middle. They were pretty normal. And when you think about it, you know, I'd like to sit here and tell you that, yes, refs are very biased and, you know, they miss a lot of calls that they should be making. But like Jim said, every single fan is going to tell you that. And I got to be completely honest with you, it's probably relatively fair. I mean, the biggest problem with refereeing in the NHL is its inconsistency, and it's inconsistent everywhere. Whether you're playing in Phoenix or you're playing in San Jose, you just got to, you know, you just got to take it. The team that is least penalized in the NHL is the San Jose Sharks. The team that is the most penalized in the NHL is the Philadelphia Flyers. And that probably shouldn't surprise you since they are basically felons on ice skates. But as for everyone else,
I would have bet money that Pittsburgh was the least penalized team in the league.
Yeah.
Actually, you might be surprised. All right, here's how it shakes out. Basically what this website does, it's on FanHouse, is there's a differential for how many penalties are called against you for how many you get. The Carolina Hurricanes are the best at plus 64. So they have 64 more power plays than they have penalty kills. The Rangers are a plus 20. The Penguins are only a plus 10. And if you go all the way down to the bottom, the Flyers are a minus 84, and the Ducks are minus 65. So to be completely honest with you, as Ranger fans, we can't complain. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're in the top 10. For referees calling penalties against us. So
just doesn't seem like it because it, well, you know, like you said, that's what it is. It is what it is. The other comment that, I'm sorry, go ahead, guys.
Wait, I just got to say something real quick. Joe, you said that the bottom two teams were Anaheim and Philadelphia?
Yes.
So Chris Pronger is going to feel right at home, right?
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to feel right at home. Philadelphia is a whopping 84. They are shorthanded 84 more times than they are on the power play. That's unbelievable.
Wow.
And the only team to break even is the Canadiens. The Canadiens broke even.
Even, Steven. Well, I can't imagine Philadelphia's numbers are going to get much better with Pronger in the lineup.
No,
neither can I.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you a question. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. Did you call in last week?
No, I was having problems with the computer because I went through the computer for the telephone. It knocked out my ability to actually hear the show. So
oh, okay.
I was trying to figure out what was going on.
Okay. Well, the reason why I asked is because we had last week we kind of just, since Joe wasn't here and there just wasn't a whole lot going on, we just kind of made it a whole night of Ranger stories and who was your first favorite player or maybe the first game you ever went to. And I kept hoping you would call because you go pretty far back with the Rangers. So now that we got you on the line, who was your first favorite Ranger?
Well, it was when I first turned on the television and found hockey, all right? And, you know, way back when, I couldn't understand any of it. It was the most confusing thing. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then Montreal played the Rangers. Montreal was so much better that the game was just pure game, no physical and all. It was just unbelievable game. That's what actually hooked me on the Rangers and the hockey was when they played Montreal. And then you're going back, and there were so many of the old-time players, but you really didn't get to the Garden that much. In those days, I was more of a basketball fan. But I will tell you one of the stories that when I was in my working days, when I was in a garment center, one of my accounts as a present was very friendly with management of the fish sticks, as you call them. And they got me house tickets with the vice president of the Islanders when the Rangers played.
Okay.
And after going to the Garden and the hassle to get into the Garden and going out to, you know, the island, which was so much easier, and I sat down with the vice president. I remember this guy saying to me, his major comment was, now you're going to see hockey the way it was supposed to be played. I swear I almost hit him. But I would love to see that guy because, you know, they had their one run, and that was it. And they disappeared, and all the fans stopped coming, and the only time they show up is when the Ranger fans show up. You know, it was just, that was, the other thing was seeing the game in person after watching it on TV. And I've yet to see the game on television as exciting as it is in person. The thing that always hurts hockey is, besides the fact that it's Canadian-centric, not American-centric, is that it just doesn't translate well to TV, whereas football is the greatest transition. It's actually better on television than it is in person. Baseball also still translates well. Basketball translates well, but hockey gets lost. And I think that's my other comment was, and I think one, I don't know if you, one of you guys put it up, or somebody put it up, that again, the National Hockey League isn't going to do, televised Travis City. And I'm so anxious to start to see hockey again that I just was looking so forward to seeing, to figure out how to see that on TV, just to see the kids, and then we would be talking about it next week, and the following week it would be the opening of camp and all of that. And it's just amazing that that league is just so unaware of what, you know, the fans want and how to promote it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the fans, everybody on our site, it was really looking forward to seeing this. You know, for the first time in a long time, Ranger fans are excited about the prospects, about the guys that are on the way, and we keep hearing so much about them. And here's a perfect opportunity to see some of them in action, and there's going to be no way to see the games. And I don't understand why. I don't know if you're a frequent watcher of NHL Network. I put it on at least a couple of times a day. It's always on in the background while I'm doing the show. And I just can't understand why they'd rather show the five greatest goals of Mario Lemieux's career as opposed to maybe some live hockey and get to see some of the future all-stars of the league. But, you know, I wish I had the reason for why the NHL does a lot of things they do.
It amazes me in today's, you know, I'm not the brightest person in the world. I don't think I am. I mean, otherwise I'd be a lot richer. But the truth is, you look at these people and you say, who is the people running this thing? Do they have any sense of marketing? Even if the league is as little fans as everybody else likes to claim there are of hockey, they're very committed fans, more committed maybe than any other sport. And we would watch it in droves. But yet they put the team, you know, they put the game on Versus, which most people don't even get this stupid station. It's one of the
DirecTV has said they're not even going to carry Versus anymore. And I mean, you know, that's 54 games of the season that DirecTV customers aren't going to see. And I don't know how many DirecTV customers there are in this country, but I can tell you that at least 75% of the houses in my neighborhood have a dish hanging off of them. I recently just got rid of DirecTV and switched back to Comcast because I just couldn't afford DirecTV anymore, and I had to make a decision. It was either go with the football package or the hockey package, and I figured, well, you know, at least if I switch back to cable, I could still have the hockey package. So
yeah.
So I had to get rid of DirecTV. It was just too expensive. But I mean, a lot of people have it. That's a lot of people that aren't going to be able to see. You know, that's a lot of games. I mean, how many do the Rangers are on Versus? Off the top of my head, I want to say 10 times. About 10 games?
Six or eight, I think, subject to
change. Yeah, and then they play on NHL and NBC a lot, but you'll find them on Versus mainly because they're an original six team, and any time they match up with the Penguins or the Islanders or, you know, the Devils, they'll find their way onto Versus.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, I think I remember looking at the schedule when I put it up on the website, and I thought it was at least eight games that were, because they're on, I think, the entire month of January. They're on Versus like every week, and then there's a couple of games early in the season and a couple of games late in the season. But I mean, that's an awful lot of Ranger games to me. That's, you know, if it's eight games, that's 10% of their games that a DirecTV customer isn't going to get to see. Unless they have a friend who has cable, or they find a place to illegally watch it on the internet, or they go to a bar that has cable and it'll show the game, or whatever. And that's just it's just not good business. You know, I don't think ESPN did the greatest job in the world when they covered the game either, but at least you knew where to find it, and it was in everybody's house. Everybody's got ESPN.
Yeah.
So
it's like you said, it's like somewhere there are things in this world that always confuse me, because like I said, there are certain basic truths, and if you're going to promote a league, my God, first of all, being on Versus, whatever deal they made with Versus, they could have gotten this. I can't believe they couldn't have gotten the same deal with ESPN and come out better and more people would have seen it and so on. And you know, but it's just that's the other thing. The other thing is really, I appreciate, you know, as always, when you guys are on, it's so nice to hear hockey. And I just really can't wait for the season to start. I'm getting crazed already.
We'll be here every week till then. You have a nice little lineup of us. We're coming basically back-to-back.
Oh, the lineup, God only knows. I mean, you know, the only thing that frightens me, I was going to talk to you about the lineup, but there are two names that I see showing up on guys that are practicing, and I can't even believe that they're even there, and that's Voros and Rezim. I always mispronounce last names.
Rick Miller.
Why are they even there? I mean, these guys actually stand a chance?
But you say that, you think they're going to be in Hartford. Everyone that I have talked to and every, you know, beat reporter that I've read about says that Aaron Voros is on the ice training with the team and Tortorella is keeping him around. I mean, there, you know, someone brought this up on our site before, and I completely agree with them. There is no reason why Aaron Voros is hanging around the training center, training with the guys, and playing on practice squads with the team if there was not at least an intent to see if he can't make this team. So I have to be completely honest with you. There's a chance he makes this team. Rhys Miller, I completely agree with you. He was a mistake. He's out. He's gone. But there is no way that Tortorella, who openly stated that he hates keeping spare parts around, is keeping Aaron Voros around to put him in the minors. I guarantee you he has a chance. He might make the team, and I would be probably very upset if he does. But there is a potential, and I'm going to say 50-50, he's on the roster come opening night, October 2nd.
Well, I mean, I think anybody that's going to go into camp, you know, it's going to be an open, pretty much open competition of sorts. You know, I mean, he's going to have to. I still think he's going to have one hell of a camp. There's too many talented players ahead of him, and I just don't see where he's real useful. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth. You know, he got off to that fly-in start last year, and then you know he's. But after that, he's just a block of cement on skates. You know, I just don't see him being on the roster when the season starts.
Well, I mean, you know, I agree with you. I mean, the truth of the matter is, when you go into any season, you know, there's maybe 3 to 5 spots that are really open. The rest of the players, you know, we know who certain guys are going to make the team. You can argue which guy's going to be on which line, but you know pretty much, you know, the 4 defensemen are set in stone unless, you know, somebody dies. You know that Giraldi and Stahl are going to be there, and unfortunately Redden. I happen to like Roosevelt. I just think he got a bad knock because he plays with such, you know, between the two wonder partners that he's had, Redden and the other, what's his name, I don't even remember his name, who only did one good thing in his life. But, you know, that's 4 out of 6 defensemen.
Are you talking about Marek Bonilli?
Yeah.
He's still an unrestricted free agent. We could still have him.
Yeah,
bring him back.
It's like the other one. I've forgotten about him because already I know it's not going anywhere. Mr. Z, the Russian player that we wouldn't re-sign because he wanted too much money. The rumor, you know, he's still a free agent. He's worth $4 million and only in his mind, and now they're talking that maybe he gets $1.5 million in Atlanta. For that, he could have stayed with us and signed for $2.5 million, and we would have taken another risk on him for another year.
If he signs in Atlanta for $1.5 million, you're looking at an agent that's about to get fired. His agent will be washing cars.
Yeah, he really will be.
who would want to be his agent? But I said, you look at the Rangers, you know that, number one, that Dubinsky, even though we're all nervous based on what, you know, Zippy said in his article, he's going to be a Ranger unless Sather pulls out another one of his crazy moves and trades him someplace, which doesn't look likely at this point. But you got, you know, you got Dubinsky. You know Drury's the second-line center. I don't think he's the first-line center, but second. You know they're giving the third-line slot to Asimov because they should. He deserves the shot. And the fourth center, if he plays very much at all, hopefully is going to probably be Boyle because, I mean, they gave away a third-round draft pick. He's worth a shot for a few minutes a game. At least he's big and he may be physical. You know that Callahan's making the team. You know that Avery's making the team, Gabby's making the team, Higgins is making the team, Kotelak is making the team. So how many slots are really open? And you talk about, Veros is because of what I think he said, that the team, which I think we've all agreed with this, the team is not physical. It's not big. It's not nasty. And everyone keeps thinking that Veros is big and it's nasty. I don't see it. He doesn't do it. There's other guys, young kids coming up. So if it's like you said, Joe, if he makes the team, God, all the hype that we've been hoping for the young players is again a disappointment. If those guys make the team with this year's version of last year's, the guy they took from Colorado, the center, I can't even pronounce his name, Aramoff or whatever that is.
But you'd have to make the assumption that if Aaron Voros was making the team, it was because the younger guys were not producing the way that John Tortorella thought they were. And I have to be completely honest with you. If John Tortorella looks at training camp and says that Anisimov has come in out of shape, Anisimov has come in and he's not playing very well, and Voros outplays him, and he puts Voros on the team instead of Anisimov, I have no problem with that. But it was Tom Rennie's point of view, which was basically, I'm going to give the veterans a shot, and it's just going to happen. They're my guys. They'll always be my guys, and they're going to go in no matter what happens. And that was what bothered me. But if John Tortorella sees that Aaron Voros is better than whatever Anisimov is, then fine, put him in. There's nothing to say. You know, I mean, you can't hate that from a coach. You really can't.
No, I mean, you go with what coach is going to, you know, come up with, but that, like I said before, was we're putting a lot of faith in him, and we just hope that he's everything that we hope he's going to be. But after Rennie, almost anything would be a breath of fresh air. Rennie was just the wrong guy the last 2 years. He really was a great guy in development, but when he became a coach, it was a shame. He had a nice run for that 1 year. That was it.
That phone ringing, that was Tom Rennie calling in to tell
right, to talk
say,
to me in my other line, right.
Stop
right,
bitching about me on the radio. All right, Bob, we're gonna listen, give us a call next week when we have Jess on, and I know you like his work, so why don't you call in next week and we'll let you talk to Jess and we'll talk about some prospects.
Terrific. And once again, guys, always a pleasure to hear you on. Keep both things going, the blog and the show. Love them both.
All right.
Thanks,
Bob. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Can I interject something for a second here?
The always entertaining Bob from Miami. He's a great caller. I love him. He's got great stories and knows what he's talking about, and most importantly, he loves us.
That is the most important part. I have a touch of news. I'm reading the Twitter updates from Andrew Gross and Steve Zippy, and they said that Donald Brashear was booed when he was introduced for their introduction day that they're having today, and he threatened to punch all of them one by one if they continued booing him as a joke.
Jeez. All right. Well, the Donald Brashear career is off to his a Randy Johnson-like start in New York. Yeah, I see it here now. Those booing fans will be cheering. We'll be cheering for the guy when he crushes a certain player we all despise. That's another. It looks like the tweets are blowing up from the Garden. But anyway, a couple of things I forgot to do at the top of the show. I wanted to say hello to Mrs. Jim, if she's listening, she's out in Las Vegas visiting her dad, who was under the weather. So I wanted to say hello to her and say hello to her dad and hope he's feeling better. And we also want to make sure that we say hello to Poe 678. He's serving in Iraq, keeping us safe, and we just want to say hello and tell you to come home soon. And anyway, we got open phone lines. You guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Rangers have that fan meet and greet tonight at the Garden, and it was with the new players. So interesting to hear that that he got booed. Why would you? You know, I don't know. Does it make sense to come out of your house and go all the way to Madison Square Garden just to boo him in the lobby at a meet and greet?
Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, but this is what Ranger fans are. You have to understand, you and I have been saying this since he was signed. Everybody takes the high road, and yes, what he did to Blair Betts was cheap. It was disgusting, and it's intolerable. But as
I gotta interrupt you for a second. We were just talking about the NHL Network and how out of touch they are. And like I said, it's on in the background. And right now they are playing a commercial with Billy Mays in it.
No way.
Yeah. Billy Mays for the Jupiter Jack, whatever the hell that is. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But, a couple of our listeners and readers have said it, and I've said it, and you've said it. The minute he takes care of business on the Garden ice, all is going to be forgiven, and I'm just enough. You know, it's just enough is enough. Leave the poor guy alone already. You know, what are you going to do? All's fair in love and war, right? So,
as long as he keeps the suspensions away, as long as he keeps the cheap shots away, which I'm aware is asking a lot, you're not going to. I don't have a problem with him at all.
I mean, there are some other Ranger blogs out there that, you know, have just been – it seems like every day all they're doing is, you know, Brashear's the thug. How could he be on this team? And there's so much more going on right now with the Rangers. Brashear is just the least of our problems. And, you know, I just you know the blog in particular that I'm talking about, Joe. The guy just wastes way too much time obsessing on Donald Brashear, a guy
that's
probably going to 6 minutes a night if he's lucky. But so anyway, let's move on to better subjects. We got open phone lines, 646-478-4692. We got a nice full chat room. The guys are, as usual, busting balls in the chat room. Although I don't see our buddy Paulie D tonight yet. He must be
absent.
He might still be at the bar. But anyway, if you guys want to call up, talk about what's going on, or if you want to continue the conversation from last week, we had some calls about maybe your first favorite Ranger or a game you went to. You know, whatever. We're up for any conversation. But we also want to talk a little bit about Marian Gaborik. There was a couple of nice stories on him as he gets ready for the season. And it sounds like he's 100% healthy, and he feels great, and he's ready to go. And just I don't know about you, Joe, but just reading those articles today, and we put them up on the banter for you guys to look at. Just reading those got me excited. It really did. I am so looking forward to this season and seeing him play every night. But like I said, that his groin is going to be the most paid attention to groin in New York since Elliott Spitzer's. It's, the first time he goes to the ice in the Garden, the first time he falls to the ice, Madison Square Garden is just going to be a vacuum.
Yeah, and I mean, look, we've said this before. I'm just going to say it again so that you can all hear it. You need to realize that the New York Rangers looked at him, they evaluated him, they sent their doctors to see what was going on, and they deemed he was A-okay. The team doctors did not say, oh, well, you know what, he's 50-50, but we're going to tell you he's all right so that you sign him. It doesn't work like that. What they did was they viewed him, they checked him out, and they decided that he was just as good as he says he is, which is 100%, and that they expect him to play and play every game. I mean, you have to look at the performance he had in his final 13 or his final 11 games of the season last year, where he had 11 goals and 8 assists, and he was unbelievable. And you really need to think about the fact that he, when healthy, is top 5 players in the NHL. And apparently, I'm just reading these tweets off, Gabrick says he's not worried about who will center his line, and neither am I. For those of you who think that Gabrick needs a top-line center to center his line, you're wrong. Go on YouTube, look at any of the goal compilations put together about Marian Gabrick. He does 90% of it himself. You know what he needs? He needs a good, crisp outlet pass from the blue line. And I have to be honest with you, Redden was good at those last year. Stahl was fantastic with those, and so was Girardi. And now that Roosevelt is going to be back with his hip, he'll be fine as well. So, you know, let's hop off this, you know, Gabrick is only going to play 20 games, and, oh, this is going to be awful, and what a terrible signing, bandwagon. And let's just remember that he had a great end to the season. He had an unbelievable end to the season last year, an unbelievable end to the season. And now he is healthy, and he says he's healthy, and I believe him. So, I mean, you know, you just got to take it for what it's worth, but I think he's going to be absolutely fine. And if he is, and he pots 40 goals, or he scores 30 goals, or whatever he does, I think you're all going to be a lot happier about it than you are right now. I mean, just a thought, but that's my opinion.
Well, you know, if you read the little question Q&A that I did with Nathan from Hockey Wilderness, the Wild blog on SB Nation, even he said that basically that he said that he knows he's not speaking for many Wild fans when he says it, but he was absolutely crushed when they lost Gabrick, and that he thinks that the Wild fans will miss him a lot more when he plays 65 games for the Rangers and goes for 85 points. There was a lot of bitterness with Wild fans when Gabrick signed with the Rangers, and you know, part of that's just the fact that he's not going to be on your team anymore, but there were also some hard feelings with him. So, you know, I think it was probably best for everybody. What's weird is that as often as Gabrick was injured, and that left the fans kind of bitter out there, then the Wild turn around and sign Havlat, who has been injured just as much, but the fans are totally embracing him. It's kind of a weird situation, but...
But if they would have re-signed Gabrick, it would have been the exact same reaction. I mean, fans are upset with him for being injured, which is absolutely fine. I understand that. But if you look at the numbers he put up, even while injured, they're incredible. He is a goal-scoring machine. He really is. And, you know, I'm trying to upload his career stats right now on TSN, but even in seasons where he only played 60 or so games, he still had 30 or more goals. Okay, so let's look at his past couple of seasons. Forget last year. The year before last year, so 2007-2008, he played in 77 games. He had his 42 goals, 41 assists for 83 points. In the year before that, or 2 years before that, he only played in 65 games, but he scored 38 goals. The guy is a goal-scoring machine. He scored 30 or more goals in 3 of the last 4 years, and that is including 2 years ago when he scored 30 goals in 48 games. So even if he only plays 65 games, we can still expect a fair amount of points out of him. And I think that's what you sign a guy for. The Rangers needed a sniper. They did. They need power play help. They needed a sniper. They got it in Marian Gabrick. And here's to hoping he's healthy.
Yeah, and you know, we don't talk a lot about the Rangers have a few guys that, you know, who's had some injuries in the past. Chris Higgins is another one. You know, the Rangers are going to have to hope that he can stay healthy as well. He's battled a few injuries. Because I'm anxious to see what Higgins can do when he stays healthy in a full season. You know, he's still a young guy. He's still on the way up, and you know, that's just another reason why I'm so excited for the season to hurry up and start. And 1 month from today, we'll be in the open game thread on blueshirtbanner.com, and hopefully, you know, we'll be off and running against the Penguins. That's a month from today, right?
This is interesting. Andrew Gross says that Kotalik has admitted to the crowd that Tortorella has talked to him about pointing the power play.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Well, great.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
The media was getting on Tortorella about last season with the power play being so bad. The media kept hounding him, why don't you put a forward out on the power play to quarterback the power play? And I think in a very not so in a diplomatic way, that's the word. Tortorella basically said that diplomatically he didn't have anybody that he thought could do it. They tried it once or twice. As a matter of fact, I think it was Dubinsky they tried it with. I think they tried putting him at the point on the power play, if I'm not mistaken, and that didn't work either. It's not just about the players that are out there. It's also the system and the mindset. The Rangers, it just seemed like the power play, they weren't getting the puck up ice fast enough. It seemed to me that the penalty kill, they would dump the puck, and it would just take the Rangers forever to get the puck down the other end of the ice, and they get to the blue line, and they would just get stood up, and they'd be chasing the puck the other way again. And it seemed like it would be a good minute 15 seconds into the power play before they were even getting close to a shot or getting set up in a power play situation. So I think the first step is going to be getting the puck out of their own zone faster. So they do have some puck moving defensemen, and I think that's the onus is going to be on them to do that and make that first pass out of their own zone quicker so that the Rangers can get set up and hopefully they can find a power play quarterback, be it Kotalik or Staal or whoever. But, you know, I think it's not just the players, it's the way the power play works, I think that's something I think they're going to be much improved on. We talked about this a little bit in one of the threads yesterday. You know, the power play that also just stems from not having enough gifted players offensively, which I think the Rangers have certainly improved in that area, and I think that will help, as well as working on the X's and O's aspect of running the power play. So what do you think, Joe?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. If you will all remember the Tom Rennie debacle when it came to the power play this year, you probably saw him using Drury on the point. And this was a point that I stressed thoroughly, which was Chris Drury has never, ever, ever been a point guy. He has always been a player who sits in front of the net and scores the dirty goals. So using him on the point didn't make any sense to me. And when Tom, if you think a couple of years back, who pointed the power play for the Rangers very effectively, Matt Cullen did an unbelievable job pointing the power play for the New York Rangers. And since his departure, the Rangers didn't really have a forward who could effectively point the power play. And that's a problem. Because, if you have your one defenseman back who has a cannon of a shot, that's fine. But a forward is a little bit more versed in passing the puck and getting better shots on the net. And it's an important value. And if Kotalik is going to point the power play, that's great. Because he did it in Buffalo, and he was great in Buffalo. And, again, Tortorella knows what he's doing. Tortorella has his ideas. Let him put it in place. Let him put the pieces together. But I have no problem with Kotalik pointing the power play. And I have, if Dubinsky can do it too, then let him do it. But I have no problem. Some people don't like having forwards on the point of the power play. I don't mind it.
No, I don't have a problem with it either. Put whoever can get the job done, put him out there by all means. Dubinsky, I remember, he looked very uncomfortable out there. And, it was probably, if it was him, I'm pretty sure it was him.
It was him.
Yeah, he was uncomfortable out there, and that may be a couple of reasons. It could be one that he just doesn't like doing it, or he just wasn't comfortable yet, and that's something that may come. Me personally, I don't see him as a power play quarterback, but who knows? I could be wrong. But I have no problem. Put four forwards out there. What do you got to lose? The power play can't get much more inept than it was last season. I mean, it's fair to say that that the power play was the, you know, was the difference between, you know, being a the seventh round seed and maybe the fifth or sixth round seed, and then it might have been the difference between being, you know, being out in the first round or being out in the second round. So, but
I completely agree with you. I think that Dubinsky, well, not to cut you off, but Dubinsky was.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you have to find a forward who's able to play an offensive game and not worry so much about the defensive thing. And my biggest problem with Dubinsky when he was on the point in the power play was he was always looking over his shoulder as to whether or not he had to kick back and play defensively. And when you are pointing the power play as a forward, yes, you have more defensive responsibility than if you were obviously up front, but you can't worry about it so much. If you let it get to him, and you know, you can't blame him since he dealt with, 3 years of Tom Rennie's defensive schooling. So Kotelik, who's an experienced player, I think would fit that role much better. But, you know, again, we'll have to see. And, you know, there are reports that Steve Zippy's making that Matt Gilroy may be the next point on the power play. But, you know, that obviously has yet to be seen as well. He needs to make the team first. But I figured I'd throw that tidbit out there.
Guys, we got open phone lines. We got a full chat room. When you got, we'll get you guys on the air here. 646-478-4692. And I see the missus has entered the chat room, Joe. She's checking in from Las Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, we got a full chat room. What's that? Now the boss is here.
Yeah, she's here.
Now the boss. Yeah. First we had the money boss. Now we got the boss. But and Scott's in the Scott showed up in the chat room. We haven't seen him in a few weeks, and it looks like we have a few new names in there. But yeah, we want to hear you guys. Give us a call. We got open phone lines, and let's face it, there's not a whole hell of a lot else to talk about, so we get you guys on the phone and see what you guys want to discuss. But the one other thing, well, there's a couple other things that we want to get to, but one of them was, and I know this is a couple of weeks old, but we didn't get a chance. I wanted to get to it 2 weeks ago, and we just, you know, some nights we just ran out of time, and then last week I was going to get into it, but we were having so much fun last week just telling stories and talking about favorite Ranger players, and everybody had some great stories about the first game they went to that we never got to it either. But, you know, everybody knows by now. A couple weeks ago, the Rangers announced that Mark Messier is returning to the organization. He'll be working in the front office, as I think they've given him the title of a special assistant to the GM. And there's been some speculation on what exactly this means. Some people think that he's being groomed to take over the general manager position someday when Glenn Seder decides that he doesn't want to do it anymore. By the way, it bears mentioning that today is Glenn Seder's 65th birthday.
Really?
Yes, today he turns 65, which I'm just going to put this out there is retirement age nowadays. So, and he's brought Mark Messier in as a special assistant. Some have speculated that this is just kind of a public relations thing. He's just kind of a figurehead like some of the other NHL greats that have taken front office positions like this. Me personally, I definitely think that Messier is being groomed for something bigger. Mark Messier doesn't strike me as the type of guy that's just going to take a job and go sit up in the press box next to Glenn and wave to the crowd every once in a while and maybe shed a few tears every time they show the Stanley Cup on the video screen. I think this is something that he's talked about for a while. He's wanted a job like this. And I think that's why he's there. I think he's there to learn the ins and outs of the front office business. Let's face it, Glenn Seder can't do this forever. And, you know, somebody's going to need to, you know, take over that spot. And why not Mark Messier? The only question is, does he have the mindset for it? Sometimes it's tough for guys that had such successful careers in sports to move into a front office or a coaching position, because it's hard for them to accept the fact that not everybody can do the things that they did. You know, that's why a lot of times your better managers and coaches and GMs in the world of sports are guys that were marginal when it came to actually playing the game. Look at, you know, Billy Martin with the Yankees, who won a World Series, and you know he wasn't a great baseball player, but it's just for some reason he was the first one that came to mind. Mike Keenan won a Stanley Cup with the Rangers, and I don't think he played a day in the NHL. I don't think he ever got out of the junior level. So, you know, it's a hard transition to make for a lot of guys. So we'll see what he does, but I just don't see Messier taking this job to just be a figurehead who's gonna wave to the crowd and you know blow kisses and come on the ice when there's another retirement ceremony or things like that. I think he's here to roll up his sleeves, go to work, learn the ins and outs of running a professional hockey organization, and someday when Glenn's ready to stub out his last cigar, Mark Messier will be ready to take over as the GM.
Yeah,
Mouth,
the biggest...
of course I should have known Mouth would know this. Keenan played in the WHA, according to Mouth. So there you have it. But anyway,
I was going to say was the biggest knock on Messier when there was discussions about him looking for a job was a lack of experience. And you know where else are you going to get experience for being a special assistant to Sather? I'll tell you what special assistant means. Messier is going to shadow Sather. Messier will have, for the first year, maybe 2 years, he will have nothing to do. But he will watch, he will learn, and eventually, when Glenn Sather has decided he's made enough money in his career and he wants to leave, or, you know, no one's looking at it this way, there's a slight chance that James Dolan has put Messier up there basically to say, you know, Glenn, you can't be here forever, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Messier, it would appear that Messier is being groomed. So, you know, and honestly, God, there's no one I'd rather have there than Messier. He loves the game. He wants to be a part of the game. He wants to be a part of the Rangers. Good for him. And I would love to have him there. And New York Ranger for life, you who just said Messier cries too much, if any human being has earned the right to cry, it is Mark Messier. He can cry whenever the hell he wants.
I answered him. But I wanted to respond to Frosty, who said Mess and Don Maloney together in 2012. Frosty, Don Maloney's already on our payroll. He's trading us everything he's got in our Phoenix minor league affiliate. But, Joe, you had an announcement you wanted to make?
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know if you talked about this last week, and stop me if you did, but the NHL.com has entered a new part to their website, which is a fan section. Did you mention this at all on the radio show?
No, actually, I didn't.
In this fan section, SB Nation is featured as the blog network that they will be running hand-in-hand with, at least this year. I don't know if it's... you know, for any longer, but if you go onto NHL.com and hit the fan section, which you'll see, you will find SB Nation there. So I just wanted to give a quick thank you to everyone who was involved in having that happen, and anyone who is, you know, comes to the site, listens to the radio show, goes to any other site on SB Nation, because it really is you guys that are making this possible, and it is a huge step to be affiliated with NHL.com, and I don't know. Jim, is there anything you want to say? I just wanted to let everyone know that they can find us there.
Yeah, I'm just putting that link in the chat room for the guys if they want to take a look. The one thing I will give the NHL a lot of credit for is that the NHL, more so than any of the other major sports, being baseball, football, and in my opinion, marginally basketball, is that the NHL has been the best at embracing, the whole world of social media. And we had this discussion a few weeks ago with Stephanie Bagley, but not just the world of social media, but SB Nation in general. We've managed to, well, the powers that be at SB Nation have managed to forge a pretty good relationship with the NHL. Our site, as well as all the sites for the teams that were in the playoffs, were linked every day on NHL.com. So that was great exposure for the sites, and now, you know, we're going to be a part of this fan network. Plus the fact that the NHL credentialed some of the managers for the draft. These are all big steps. So that's one thing the NHL is doing really well, is that they're really very agreeable at letting us establish a relationship with them, more so than the other sports, which are giving, you know, the other blogs, they are giving them little bits and pieces here and there, but you know, the NHL definitely seems the one taking the biggest steps as far as SB Nation is concerned. And yes, give us a raise. I agree, Mouth. I could use a
I completely agree too.
I could use a raise. And just to Ben Halo, you got your. I did give you props before you signed into the chat room. I didn't know if you were listening or not. So once again, let me say, I just want to say hello to my wife, who is listening in Las Vegas. She is out there visiting her dad, who was spending some time in the hospital, but he is feeling better now and glad he's home. And she will be home on Saturday, and we can't wait for that. So, anyway, we have let's take a call. We have Paulie D on the line. Let me pull him up here.
Oh, do we have Paulie D?
We have Paulie D. Good evening, Paulie. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Paulie?
Hey, Joe, we missed you last week, buddy.
Yeah, I know you did, but I see you had no problem just stepping in there, champ.
Paulie,
didn't we miss you too much last week?
Did we really miss him? Wait a minute.
Well,
Paulie,
I'm just trying
to
be nice, Jim, you know? I'm trying to teach you guys how to be nice to people.
All right,
as long as I know this is
the way that it went down, that's fine. But watch your back, Paulie D, because you're on my list now. I have Todd Bertuzzi working for me for $5 a year. He's going to come over and say something. But only if your place
is
wheelchair accessible.
That segment is not done yet. I'm just going to leave it right now until we get into the season. And then I have all my friends here where I'm going to say, hey, Joe, I told you so.
But yeah? Okay. All right.
I just hear it. Wait. Before we get started, I just have one question.
What's that?
Joe, you weren't here last week?
No, I wasn't. I see the way this is going.
Paulie and Mouth did a great job filling in for you last week, but there's only one, as Mouth would say, Jumpin' Joe Fortunato. There's only one of you, Joe. We're glad you're back. But, and yes, Mouth he's totally sucking up to my wife in the chat room. He said, God bless
you. Out. He makes
God,
some moves,
God.
Man. You have no idea. He's very agile for a big man.
Well, my wife's not twins.
Yeah, well, that's true, but he didn't recognize the twins, so it doesn't matter.
He said to my wife, he said, God bless you for dealing with Jim.
He said, God bless me for dealing with Jim, too.
Truer words never spoken. Anyway, Paulie, for those of you that don't know, I think everybody knows by now, but just in case you don't, Paulie hosts his own show on Blog Talk Radio, usually on Monday nights. Paulie's very involved in hockey ball and tournaments around the Tampa area. And, Paulie, the other night you had on the vice president of Milek, was that correct?
I had Ken Cashman. He is he put it to me as he is the representative of Milek. So we just let it go at that. I didn't introduce him as the president because I didn't, unfortunately, have a long conversation with him. But he is definitely on the top chain of command there, and I will announce that he graciously grabbed my show and put it on Milek's page on their website with their links. So I felt very fortunate with that. And it was an excellent conversation. I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to the program.
Unfortunately, I did not. I was up very early with my son, and now my wife being out of town, I'm handling all the duties with my daughter, and I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get my son to the airport, and by the time I got home Monday night from work, I was just wiped out, and I haven't had a chance to go listen to the podcast, and I wasn't able to listen to your show, I wasn't able to listen to Mouth's show.
Well, I know Joe listens to my show every week. I know he does.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I broke my computer 2 weeks ago. And
thanks,
they sent
man.
Me a new one, so I didn't have it. But I do archive your show, actually. And I actually listened to your show and then listened to Mal's show right after each other. And it was just a hoot and a holler. So I do listen. I have not listened to this week's show, though.
I actually listened to both of their shows at the same time.
Oh, did
you?
We
should try that sometime. Oh, yeah,
I heard
great.
That Paulie G was there.
It's like the Blues Brothers, huh? Oh, boy.
Anyway, so what else is going on, Paulie?
Ken Cashman, he was a great guest. I had some real big shots in hockey tournaments throughout Canada and the U.S., which was amazing. And, you know, it was a very productive show. You know, we're pushing to try and see what we can do to make ball hockey an Olympic game, believe it or not. And actually, if you listen to the show, there was a gentleman of the name by Mike Schwiegard, who in 2010, I believe the Olympics are in Vancouver this year, and they're going to have a ball hockey tournament there. 24/17 is the featured event. It's a 24-hour ball hockey event for 17 days in the Olympics. So hopefully I'll be covering that and get you guys all the information, but it's a start for them, and it's really exciting stuff.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Paulie, you know, I haven't – I don't know if my wife is still listening. I don't think I've mentioned this to her yet. Your buddy Matt Gary,
yeah.
Is that his
yeah.
name?
Yeah.
He invited me up for the tournament. I guess it's the end of October to
yeah.
play. He
yeah,
invited me
buddy.
To come play. And I'm considering it. I'd
oh,
have to
hi.
See if I could – If I could shake off a chin or two, and get into some kind of shape besides round, I might consider making the trip up there to play. I think that would be a lot of fun. And I was trying to stress to Matt, I'm like, I used to play a lot. I said I used to play like every day. I said nothing organized. I said it was all just pickup games. I said, but you know, whether it was 90 degrees or 10 degrees, I said I was playing hockey. I said, more so than any other sport. I said, I love to play. I said, I like to think I have at least, you know, a little bit of ability. I said, but it's been a while. I said,
right.
You know.
Think of me as
like Theo Fleury of ball hockey with maybe just a little less of a drinking problem. But he's like, oh, you know.
The little part to that.
Oh,
said,
boy.
You know, he said it's no problem, you know, that, you know, it's all recreational, that it wouldn't be a big deal. And, you know, I just don't want to come up there and embarrass myself. But I'm thinking about it. It would be a lot of fun because I don't get the chance to play anymore. And it's something I really do miss because it was a lot of fun. It was something that I always had a lot of fun doing. We used to play at this abandoned tennis court, and it had the great fences for you know, to use as boards, and we made our own nets out of PVC pipe. Actually, my brother made them. But, you know, I would love to be able to play again. So let me see what I'm going to work on it.
Well, listen, here, let's do this. I actually, you know what, Jim, just come out one day. I know it's a little bit of a trip for you, but it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Come out and check it out, and I bet you will be so impressed. But, you know, you said something that really, and I've been beating and humming on this, and yes, Mouth, I am very passionate about the game of hockey. But you said something that makes so much sense, and I've been beating on this for the longest time, is that, you know, us being the big hockey fans and Ranger fans that we are, you got to say, a lot of it started when you started to play hockey. You know, you start playing hockey and you get interested and you start falling in love with the game. And then all of a sudden, you become a huge, of course, Ranger fan or hockey fan, you know, wherever you are. But that's really where the foundation is. And that's why, also, I got some links I'll be putting up. One of the representatives is Terry Cox. He's out in Los Angeles. The Kings just had a really big ball hockey event that he helped put together and run out there. And we're trying to work a little bit here with the Lightning, and hopefully we can get another one going. But that's really where the grassroots are. That's where it starts. You know, you said we used to love to play hockey, and that's what spurred the interest into where we are today. I mean, we're running shows talking about hockey. You got one of the best websites out there to go and get good, legitimate Ranger news and hockey news. And that all stems from passion.
Right.
Passion that started when you played hockey.
Well, Bob hit the nail on the head when he called, which was basically that the hockey translates horribly onto TV. And there's really only two ways to become a hockey fan, and that is to either go to games consistently or play it yourself. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Playing hockey yourself, I did it as a kid, but I did it more because I was a fan than anything else. It gets you into the game. It gets your mind there, and then you can watch it on TV, and you can say, oh, I know what's going on now. I get it. That is the biggest difference between hockey and other sports. Hockey is a little bit more complex. It's a little bit more difficult to understand. And at the end of the day, it's a more difficult game to pick up. But I cannot agree with you more. It starts with playing the game or going to games and becoming a fan, and that is exactly how most people get into the game nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was telling this. I told the story last week, Joe, you weren't here, about when Paulie said he was having the guys from Milek on his show, and I don't want to bore everybody with it again, but I was telling everybody the story about, I remember saving up my allowance for my first Milek stick, and I still to this day remember how much it cost me. And then the other part of the story was, I remember my father used to yell at me all the time because I would always steal his masking tape, because you had to tape your stick, you know? And, you know, I'd hear him yell at, what'd you do with my GD masking tape? Did it go? What'd you put it on your hockey stick again? And meanwhile, I'd throw my hockey stick in the back of my closet, praying that he wouldn't find it because it'd be taped from stem to stern, you know? I mean, that's the thing. And, you remember, you get the stick and you'd write your favorite players' names on it, you know, little things like that. You just, and that's, you know, like you said, Paulie, that's where it started for us, you know, playing, you know, pretending to be Esposito or Fatio, or if somebody had goalie pads, you were JD or Steve Weeks, or, you know, something like, or Eddie Mio or something.
Yep.
Or Kevin Weeks.
Exactly. Oh, my God, it's so funny you say that, because I remember doing that as a kid. Yeah, I always wanted to be Barry Breck. He was my favorite player. I always wanted to be him. I always played defense just for that fact, because I wanted to be Barry Beck. It's a great point.
But yeah, that's where the passion starts. And you know, that's why it's such a great thing what you do, because, you know, it's just a way of bringing more fans to the game. It really is.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what else is going on for you, with you? What are you what else is on your mind this week?
Well, I tell you, of course, I always hit Blue Shirt Banter. I try to make it at least three times a week, see what's going on, you know. Good little article you had there on Brandon Dubinsky, which I always felt that Brandon was like, you know, the deal will get done when it gets done. I'm not worried. I want to be a New York Ranger. And I guess that's why we never really heard anything like, you know, him, you know, possibly being traded and really heat up and get nasty. I mean, of course, there's always stupid rumors out there, but any knucklehead could say, well, they're going to trade him. But, you know, there's no doubt. I think we all knew in our hearts that Brandon would be a New York Ranger, and, you know, that's exciting. And the Lightning signed Tanguay, which, you know, I thought the Lightning would have made a goaltender move, honestly, and they didn't. But, you know, good for them. I'm happy that the game is growing in this Tampa area. But, you know, of course, I want to see my Rangers hoist that Stanley Cup.
Oh, absolutely. In your mind, let me ask, because I was thinking about this in my mind today. If you had to, how far away in terms of seasons do you think they are from being a serious cup contender? I was just kind of, you know, these are the things that occupy my thoughts when I'm sitting at a desk at that stupid day job I have that just fills time in between vlogging.
you know what? I hate to go on impulse, especially because, like I've told Joe a couple of times this week, in the shows, you know, sometimes I'll look at this roster and I'll get excited in my mind and think, you know, we might have a team here. And depending on what we do defensively, you know, I would really like to come out of the second round this year. I think that if we do something smart defensively, one of my biggest issues, Jim, with this team in the last couple of years on the Rennie, and I know Joe is going to chime in here any second, but, you know, defensively we've been very weak. Yes, we were a defensive-minded team, but we didn't have the physical aspect to get the puck and move it out of the zone. We don't have those big, long tape passes breaking people through the neutral zone, which causes our wingers to come deeper into the zone, which makes for longer hauls to get 200 feet down the other end. With all of that said, if we can solidify a good defensive core that can move the puck, depending on what we see in Tortorella's stage here, if we can get out of the second round, we could be two, maybe tops, 3 years out from winning a cup if we keep consistent on the ideas that we're trying to focus with, because I think Tortorella's style will
Holy
work.
Holy cow, I'm on? Oh, sorry about that, bully. I didn't know I was done.
Man. I'm sure that I think that style will work.
Now, see,
Okay, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
I just wanted to agree with Paulie. When I kind of put it together in my head and thinking where they are in terms of veterans and guys, you know, just coming into their own and young guys, I see them as a 2 to 3 year team as far as seriously contending for the cup. But yes, you're right. I would like to see them get at least into the second round and play and go deep into the second round. But, you know, the other thing is that, you know, with their goaltending, with Henrik Lundqvist, he can make up for a lot of other inadequacies, you know, come playoff time. He almost single-handedly got him into the second round this year. But before we continue real quick, I just wanted, since we were talking about hockey ball, I wanted to bring on the pride, and I hope I have this right, the pride of Plaza Sports, the greatest goaltender in the history of Plaza Sports hockey ball. Ladies and gentlemen, my former co-host, The Mouth. Good evening, Mouth. How are you?
You know, what happened last week? What former co-host, what is this?
Listen, I could never replace Jilted Joe Fortunato. That's known. Now, I want to address right off the bat that you assume because I'm a large guy that I played goalie. I was a left winger of extraordinary magnitude.
Wait a minute. You told me you played goalie.
I did never told you the story. You're making it up. You're a little Looney Tune. Your wife is out in Vegas, and you're all alone, and you've lost it. You've completely gone bonkers on me. Now, let's get down to it.
Wait a minute. My wife is in Vegas. I'm all alone, and I'm hosting an internet radio show. What a life.
That's right. Well, it's good times, but you're loony. Now, 4 years I give the Rangers before they make a run at the Cup, and I'm going to tell you why. You're going to have stars in 4 years. Is going to be one of the better defensemen in the league. You got Callahan is going to be good, and Dubinsky's going to be good, and it's all going to be rocking and rolling. Now, you got to take – I agree with you 2 to 3 years, but you figure Henrik is probably going to get hurt one of those years. You're going to have to scrap the whole season because without him, we're not winning nothing. I mean, I'm not saying it's this year, guys. Don't go crazy. Now, so then you got the Gratches. You got the McDonoughs. You got the Gilroys. You got all these guys I'm excited about. And I think we're going to have a really good team in 2 years. But I really think that, you know, I've got to be a little bit pessimistic on the downside and say give it 4 years. And then we'll be good for a long while there. Hopefully this is the way it's going to work out, thanks to Tom Rennie, who I found out through internet radio, Mr. Jim, that Rennie is responsible for a lot of this drafting. So that's what I think 4 years, put it in the books.
All right, well, Mal, first of all, we're going to disagree, maybe for the first time ever on the radio, but it's come to a head about this at least. I'm going to say that on this particular topic, I'll give Paulie D the edge on this one. The Rangers are probably 3 years out from being a serious contender. What I mean by that is serious, like the Red Wings right now are a serious contender. I think that if the pieces fall together, the Rangers could do a lot more damage this year than people are thinking. And my reasoning is similar to yours. I mean, you know, I don't know what your opinions are, but I think Staal is one of the better defensemen in the league this year. I mean, there are obviously players that I would put above him, but when it comes to an all-around defenseman, I think he's one of the better defensemen in the year right now. As for Lundqvist getting injured, I'm not even going to think about that. And I don't think you can think about that when it comes to judging how good a team is going to be, because you can never put together injuries. But again, Ryan Callahan and Brandon Dubinsky both had breakout years last year. Obviously, Dubinsky didn't put up as many points as everybody wanted him to, but he showed a lot of strengths that he didn't show his rookie year. Ryan Callahan put up an unbelievable amount of goals, and he looked fantastic. I think that the defensive aspect of this team is going to be a lot better, mainly because they're not going to be playing defense as much. We were great. We were pretty good defensively last year, playing defense all the time. The main difference between John Tortorella's system and Tom Rennie's is that in John Tortorella's system, he plays defense by keeping the puck away from the other team. And his team goes to the puck instead of Rennie's system, who sits back and waits for the puck to come to them. It's going to take pressure off Lundqvist, and it's going to take pressure off the defense, which is going to work out very well for Gilroy and whoever else comes up in that sixth defensive slot. I think that this team is probably 2 years away from being in serious contention from everybody. But I'm telling you right now that we're going to do a lot more damage than people give us credit for. I mean, if you look at it, Gabrick is a 40-plus goal guy if he's healthy. Higgins, Kotalik, Drury, you can pencil in for 25-plus. You know, you look around, you can say Callahan and Dubinsky and Avery and Prospel might put in 20 or whatever else you're looking at. The offense and the speed of this team is incomparable to what we had last year. And we were pretty good last year. And with an offensive go-go system, I truly think that even come October 2nd, the sky is the limit. I really do.
So the ball never be in the Rangers zone.
I appreciate the... He's saying to the
Paul. I didn't hear what Paulie said.
Go ahead, Mal.
Well, you know, I appreciate your optimism. I mean, you know, you're young. You got that young attitude, and I love it. But we've been down this road before. We have been down this road before, and I have to look at contingency plans. You know, you say you can't predict injuries. Okay. If I say Marion Gaborik plays 40 games, what are you predicting for the Rangers this year under the Tortorella system? They make the playoffs?
Yes, of course they will. I think the big difference between this team and the team that you looked at when Jaromir Jagr was the star was that Jaromir Jagr had no secondary scoring, ever. I don't care, bringing in Drury, Gomez, and Shanahan means nothing. They're not secondary scoring. If Gaborik does not play a game this season, the Rangers have already replaced all the goals they had last year and then some. Prospel, Higgins, and Kotalik all bring in 20 goals plus. And when you think about them only losing Naslund and them only losing Zverev, those were also 24 goals each. You have to think Callahan will score more goals. You have to think Dubinsky will score more goals. And let's be completely honest, Gabrick, if he plays 40 games, he might score 20 goals. So I don't think this team is as offense as star-starved as they have been. I think Roosevelt is going to be better. I think Redden is going to be a lot better. And I think that Matt Gilroy might and Derek Staal might surprise some people when it comes to points. I really do. So
you know,
I don't think you can look at Gabrick getting injured as like the be-all, end-all for this team. He's not as important as Lundqvist is.
Well, I see how you think they've upgraded from being predictable to now being unpredictable. But with unpredictability comes a lot of risk. Now, last year they played it tight. They played it close to the vest. It was boring, but it kept them in a lot of games. When you start playing an unpredictable, untested, I mean, this is untested in Ranger territory, the Tortorella system, you know, it's going to take a while before this gels. They got a whole new crew in there. I mean, maybe Sam's the Canadians, they've revamped their whole team. I think it's going to take a period of adjustment. Of course, you're right. Of course, we're going to get the puck moving up to the forwards. But I tell you, if Gabbert doesn't play, if he doesn't play 65, 70 games, I think it's going to be a hard time. I mean, they got to keep the puck out of the net now. Last year, we didn't have to worry about it so much. They were playing it so close to the vest, and Lundqvist always bails us out pretty much all the time. Now you're going to ask him to bail us out even more, put more pressure on the D-men. I like their defensemen. I don't love them. You know, I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here and say, well, it's all over. I'm just saying it's going to be a tough road to hoe the first year. It always is. I just, you know, you want to add the goals up and say they're going to score, and it is 20-20-20-20-20. There's a lot more than just scoring. This isn't fantasy hockey. It's about team gelling together, coming together. I think it's going to take a little while. Joe, I hope to God you're right, because I would love to see this team dominate the Atlantic Division.
All right, but I have two questions for you, and you can answer them one at a time if you'd like. You know what, forget it. I'll give you both of them. The first one is, do you think that this team is going to have any less chemistry under Tortorella than they did under Tom Rennie, where Tom Rennie was switching lines three times a day to the point where we were taking too many men on the ice penalties almost once a game?
Well, that question is, when you're talking about chemistry, are we talking about everybody playing as a cohesive unit? I mean, obviously, if you're talking too many men on the ice, they played his system to a T, even though it was ineffective for the most part, and it's really not going to get you past the second round. We saw that. I would have to say this team doesn't have that chemistry. It's untested waters at this point.
And the other question I had for you was, in the final 17 games of the season, don't think about the playoffs for now. Think about the final 17 games of the regular season. When Tortorella took over, I thought they were better defensively because they weren't so back on their heels than they were under Rennie. Did you see the same thing, or did you think that they were worse?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that point, but I think a lot has to do with Avery coming back. He adds a dimension to the team that they need to have him play as well. And, yes, they played. Tortorella was good and you know, he came in and he said the Rangers were he came out later and said the Rangers were horribly out of shape. So hopefully that will also work to their advantage. There's a good thing we could look at, that possibly they'll be in a lot of shape, better shape when it comes down to the stretch, because under Tortorella, I mean, they were gassed. And he did get them out. He's able to get these players to play. But now we got a whole different crop. We got the Envalisons, and he might not make the team, but you got the Brian Boyles. You know, we used to have it set, the three lines and the fourth line, you know, the penalty killers, blah, blah, blah. Now you got a whole group of new penalty killers coming in. The power play is still a question mark, although Coda Week. And, you know, you are right as far as this is a gun. They do have more guys on the power play to score, like Prosper and a couple other guys they brought in. But it's still, you know, I just got to be cautiously optimistic at this point.
Jim, I am so sorry. I know you're probably taking a nap, but you know I'm gnawing at the bit here. Let me ask you both a question. You guys remember the first part of last year?
Paulie, before you start, I just want to say one thing. I can't believe that Joe is playing the role of Ranger optimist. I'm so excited about that alone.
I'm always optimistic.
Oh, Paul, you are usually Mr. Gloom and Doom. If I could play you some of the phone calls I've taken from Joe after games and conversations that we've had.
Now, wait a minute.
You are not a Ranger optimist.
You are basing this off the playoffs only, and I was not in a good place after the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. You need to give me more time before. I don't think I'm a Ranger pessimist at all. A little one. I'm a realist. I'll put it that way. I'm a realist.
I can see it now. If the Rangers lose opening night to Pittsburgh 4-3, I'm going to get a phone call. Oh, season's over and everybody needs to go.
You'll be talking them off a ledge.
Let me throw this at you. Last year, the first 20 games, where were the Rangers sitting? Does everybody remember?
They're like first place, right?
Oh, sitting, okay.
They did not lose a game for the first 13, right?
No, they lost games. They lost two.
They
were like 10-2-1.
First 13. Jim, look it up, man.
No way.
Check
you are absolutely wrong. You're wrong.
They went almost. The first game they lost was to the Buffalo Sabres.
No, it was to Detroit.
No, it was to the Buffalo Sabres last year.
You talking loss or in regulation or loss in overtime?
Oh, we're really splitting hairs now.
They lost last year. It was against the Buffalo Sabres.
No,
they
were
on like an 11 or 12 game winning streak.
Jim, look it up. They were 10-2 at one point. I know that for a fact. 10-2-1. 10-2-1.
Let's go with that. Let's go with the 13 games they were leading the Atlantic, and everybody was on their high horse saying, "Wow, look at these New York Rangers." And what happened, Joe? They came downhill.
Well, yeah, but I think there's a couple of reasons why that happened.
Okay, here's my point. The first 15, 18 games, teams feeling each other out, learning their own systems, really. What happens now in the East, where they are, it's a very dump, grind, in-your-face type of play, Joe. That's what I'm trying to – this. We are not taking our New York Rangers and bring them into the West Coast high-flying, high-goal-scoring. We're into a very grindy, in-your-face style of hockey. We do not have the personnel for that. Our power play sucked because everything we did was on the outside. We never had bodies in front, 2-3 guys, making things ugly, moving the puck around. It was everything's outside. The Kotaliks, the Prospels, all these guys are outside goal scorers. You're not going to see these guys running through the paint.
You and I have disagreed on this. Since the cows have come home, I have said it once, I will say it again. Brandon Dubinsky. Ryan Callahan.
13
goals. All right, he had a rough season. Ryan Callahan, Brandon Dubinsky, Chris Curry, and Sean Avery.
A drink of milk.
He's a in-your-face type of player.
He's not 20 years old anymore, Joe. He's your old man.
He's an old man. You need to realize that the time you're judging him under was under Rennie when he was not utilized properly.
But what does that have to do with the power play, Joe?
What you're saying is completely. What was Tom Rennie's system when it came to the power play?
Well, wait a minute.
He wanted to put someone in front of the net. He never did. Chris Drury has never been an outside player. He's always been an in-your-face, in-front-of-you, dirty goal scorer. And that is not where Tom
Rennie put him. He's a deflection
king.
He's not a Thomas Holstrom type. He's a deflection king.
While I agree with you, he's
the deflections on top of the circle. It's a big difference than being in the goalie's face like a Holstrom and players like that, Joe.
What about Avery?
Let's go back into the defensive zone. Teams are going to do what they did to us last year. We look great. Henrik looked impenetrable. Then all of a sudden, we start just dumping the puck in deep, forechecking hard, and we can't move the puck we can't move the puck 10 feet. And that is the problem with the New York Rangers again. And now we have two extra guys that are going to come up from wherever, don't know how to play a system. Hopefully, they can just move the puck, Joe. But the point is the East style is totally different. Teams are going to dump on us hard, forecheck us hard. And if you listen to teams, the way they beat the Rangers was get the puck in deep, work them down low, they'll make mistakes, and we'll score. And it's been obvious year after year. It was the biggest problem last year, Joe.
But you need to realize
we have not addressed that problem.
You need to realize that one of the main reasons why that was so successful was because Tom Rennie's style of play was sit back and let the puck come to you. I'm telling you right now that in a go-go system where you have actual forecheckers who push the puck and try to get the puck out in the offensive zone, who do their jobs, speedy players that the Rangers have, it's going to be completely different. It's not as easy to work the puck down low against a team that pushes the puck in the offensive zone and keeps it there. It is a completely different horse when it comes to Tortorella's system of pushing the puck forward and Rennie's. In Rennie's system, any team could run the puck into the defensive zone and sit there because no one was pushing the puck in the neutral zone and no one was pushing the puck in the offensive zone. The main reason why I thought we looked so good under Tortorella was because we were spending more time with the puck and less time anticipating where the puck was going to be. And that is the biggest difference between what you're foreseeing is happening and what I think will happen because of the new system. And we have speedier guys who can forecheck better. And, you know, the dirty, you know, the run and grind dirty type of play in the East, if we're faster than every other team and they want to dump and chase and do whatever it is they want to, that's fine. But there are plenty of teams out there that I know of in the East that don't dump and chase as much and that obviously try to, you know, be a more speedy, shoot the puck, get the puck on that type of team. And that's just what we are. And I think we can definitely outcome the you know, dump and chase, grind type of team. We have the players who can do it.
Yeah, we definitely have the guys who can counterattack that.
There he is.
See, that's the thing now. Oh. We didn't have those guys, Paulie D. Let me jump in here, please.
Uh-oh.
Let me give the lowdown. Now, here it is. We have the guys to counter that forecheck now, whereas last year, who were you wearing? Laurie Korpikoski and Thomas Schuestring? Those guys couldn't do nothing. Now you got the Prospels. Now you got the other guys in there. We could do it. I like Sean Avery for the whole season, and I got to say, the Rangers are going to be better in shape. So if they do get up to a fast start, they're not going to collapse like one of those bridges out there in Minnesota, whatever that bridge was that collapsed on those people. Oh, Jesus, the voice of reason. Yes, that's me.
This is what, we must be late in the off season. The off season's officially gone on too long if Mouth has become the voice of reason.
Yeah, really. But seriously, I think the truth lies within the middle of both you guys. I think you both make terrific points. Unfortunately, I think Paulie D's points on top of his head, but that's a different story for a different time. No, I think Paulie makes a good. He wants some toughness. He wants some big guys up there at center ice. But they're coming in next 6 foot. What is he, seven? Grotchev? They're coming. The cavalry is coming in the form of the Russian Evgeny Grotchev. Jeez, having a hard time spitting that one out. Anyway, I'm telling you, I think there's going to be a time of adjustment. It's just not going to be a bed of roses. We've been down this Ranger track. I've been following this team since 1975. Nothing comes easy. It never does. It never will. Look at the Stanley Cup. It took us 7 games. We should have won it in 4.
I've completely forgotten what we were talking about. Joe, are you still there?
Yeah, oh, I'm here.
Did we lose everybody?
No, we're there. It's a little a family disagreement.
Hey, it's just like four chumps sitting around a bar yelling, screaming, going at it, but we're all brethren, we're all part of the same club, we're all in it together. It's just like Billy Joel says, we all go down together.
That's right. For better or worse, we're all in this together. No, it's you. And Mouth is right. You guys, he is the voice of reason. You both make excellent points. And, you know, my take has been the same all along. I think that win or lose, they're going to be a much more exciting team to watch. And I think they're headed in the right direction. Yeah, and, you know, there are going to be some growing pains this year. You know, everything's not going to go perfect right off the bat. It's going to take time. But I think they're definitely headed in the right direction.
Well, Jim, you're right. I think it's going to be exciting just to see that dull, listless defensive game out the window. It should be better. I think they'll be a little bit better on the power play. Kolek's got a howitzer for a slap shot. I think they'll help him on the power play. You know, I think it's going to be more exciting. Whether it's going to be more productive, that remains to be seen. I have to watch the team on the ice. I can't. Right. You know, I can't look at stats right now. You guys know that. guarantee we have well-trained hockey eyes, and most Ranger fans do. Not like those Islander fans. They all they do. You know what? Every I'm going to go on an Islander tangent right now, just for a few seconds.
Here we go.
The Islander fans don't even wait.
Let me just set you up. If you're going to be bad, be really bad. Don't
be
just
really
be mediocre.
Exactly.
Don't be mediocre. I always look.
First of all, John Tavares does scare me. I want to say about the Islanders. Every Islander fan right now doesn't even care what the Islanders do. They're all sitting, looking at the Rangers, waiting for guys to fail. They want to sit there. Gabrick got hurt. Nice signing. Oh, Prosper, he's too old. Look, he's doing nothing. They focus on the Rangers. They can't even watch their own team. It's so disgusting that they have to focus on the Rangers and bag on us. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. If you're an Islander fan, go to hell, because the Rangers fans don't need you. Don't watch our team. Don't watch our team. Don't come to our building. We own your team. You're on our network. We should let you go. If Dolan had any sense, that's the first thing he should cut. The Islander broadcast. What would they miss?
Amen.
8 viewers? Anyway.
Brother. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
Right.
Eight viewers and $19 in advertising money.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I have a story for you all, if you're all interested to listen. At the NHL tweet up, I don't know if I've told this before. If you go to the Islanders, if you go to wherever they sell season tickets, and you tell them you sign a contract that says that you will show up to 80% of the games, and you will bring a sign for 5 games or something like that. Islander season tickets for the entire year. For your seat is $40.
What?
You pay $40.
That is
you get
true.
The
I heard it.
Entire
so
season.
Heard it.
Oh my god.
$40.
And you
want
to hear something else?
$40. You can't even get in the garden, man.
No, you can't. You can't even park at the garden for $40.
Yeah.
You gotta at the garden. You gotta tip the guy outside playing the trumpet $40 before you.
Yeah, really.
Kind of place the pistol.
You want to hear another thing that disgusts me about this Islander team? When we went that first tweet up, me and Joe were there, and there were some Islander guys there. They were all right, but they're not our type. They don't know hockey. They don't know nothing. So we're talking to the Islander, not the blogger who got fired, but the one of the guys that does he works for the official
Islander. Yeah, he writes their main page. He writes their main page.
Right. This guy writes their main page. He does a review of the game or whatever. And then at the bottom, he's got to put the attendance. And I said, come on. I see these attendance figures, 12,000. You're watching the game. It's like 4 people rattling around in that building. And I go, how could you do that? He goes, oh, those aren't the real. We make up those numbers. We couldn't put down what the real numbers were. Even the guy who worked, he's telling me that they have fudged the numbers. What a disgrace. What a disgrace.
Oh, God.
It's a conspiracy. 4 guys rattling around. You watch the game, and Howie Rose has to speak over the conversations taking part in the stand.
Yeah.
Poor Howie.
Oh,
yeah, I'm always reminded of that old joke Ralph Kiner used to tell during Mets telecasts. I forget what the frame of reference was for the story, but you call the Islanders and you say, what time's the game tonight? They'll say, what time can you make it?
Yeah, really, exactly. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, all the fans will fight you tooth and nail. No, that's not true. I was there. It was 12,000. It was 13,000. I don't care. All the fans, go to hell. I hate you focusing on the Rangers. Watch your own team. Watch Tavares over there, and watch him when they're in Kansas City. And I mark my words, fellas. Mark my words. I am going to Kansas City next summer, and when that team is going to move there or move anywhere, I'm going to burn that Islander jersey in Kansas City to the ground.
How many people can – how many teams can you say their owner has stated, I wish I never bought this team?
Wow.
How many teams can you say the owner looked the media in the eye and said, you know what? not only was this a humongous mistake.
You mean he squinted?
I wish this never give me the magic lamp. Let me rub out a genie. I want this to go away and never come back. I mean, how do you think that? How do you feel that way?
That's got to make you feel like, why am I even following this team? The owner is so disgusted in his investment. How can I invest my time when this guy doesn't want to see? Did somebody just burp? What kind of show is this?
That wasn't me.
But me.
I was just, you know, usually it's the other way around. You know, the irony of that is that the Islanders have an owner that wishes he never bought the team, and the Rangers have an owner that the fans wish never bought the team.
That's right. Now, you know, they're talking about it, and they're right. The Islanders are posed no threat. They're not. I'm just talking from the Islanders' perspective. Now, I got to just talk about this. They tell me to be. I'm sorry if I'm going long on this. I probably won't have nothing
fine
to talk about on my show tomorrow. But anyway, this thing. They asked me to be part of this roundtable. It was on a written blog, not like a video blog that I usually do. And then, like, this guy, he's a devil fan. You guys follow him. I know he's on Twitter. I think he's Speak of the Devils or something. And anyway,
yeah,
he picks the Devils for first place in the Atlantic. Is he out of his head? I mean, is he out of his head? I mean, anything is possible, but come on. You think they're better than the Penguins? They've lost guys. I mean, I tried to be fair. I mean, I picked the Rangers, I think, third or fourth. I think third. I mean, you want to pick your team first, but, I mean, you're trying to be. No, I picked them. What did I pick them? Jesus Christ. I picked them third. And that was a little bit of a reach because I think the Flyers are better than the Rangers, but I had the Flyers. How do you see it, the division?
I think it's Penguins, Flyers, Devils, Rangers, interchangeable 3 and 4.
I cannot believe I'm hearing this.
Yeah. I think we have a better team than the Flyers.
Yeah, I think we have a better
Flyers
team than the Devils too. You want to talk about
on
a wheelchair? Brodeur needs like a special one.
Hold on.
But the Devils always do it.
That's what I'm trying to say. Every time you think that team is done, they prove you wrong. Almost everything they do comes up roses. And you know what? I'm sorry. Lou Lamoriello is one of the best GMs in the league.
Absolutely.
And they keep losing players, and they keep losing players, and they keep losing players, and they just keep finding new ones. And I don't care how old Brodeur is, you know, and I hate him just as much as anybody else, but he's still a hell of a lot better than a lot of other goaltenders in the league. And you know, he had that meltdown against Carolina, and unfortunately that's going to blemish a terrific career, you know, Hall of Fame career. But he's still better than a lot of the goaltenders that are out there. And, you know, we know better than anybody that when you have that, anything's possible. And, you know, I'm trying to be practical. You know, nobody hates the Devils more than I do. But, it's you know, every time I think they're finished, how many people thought they were done when Brodeur got hurt last year? Who the hell, if I had told you Scott Clemenson was going to win 30 games for the Devils last year, you'd have told me I was crazy, or however
right?
many.
Yeah.
Nobody could have saw that coming, but they just
if that man
it.
A Cupid doll, he's right on.
My brother called me from California, Jim. He's like, finally, the Devils, they're done. They're finished. They have no chance. And here they come.
So that's why I say, you know, they're kind of interchangeable at 3 and 4. You know, I can see the Rangers finishing third. I can see them finishing fourth. I think the Flyers are going to be tough. I really do. But you know, I tell you what though, before we go on, I feel bad. I've left somebody on hold for a very long time at this point. So let me bring them on real quick. We got a call, 516 area code. I apologize for leaving you on hold for so long. Who's this?
This is Joe's dad.
Oh, Big Forge.
The guy that the guys you cut off last time.
He does that to me all the time. It's unbelievable.
I've been listening to you guys, and I wanted to bring out a point which I think you guys touched on a little bit just now, talking about the Devils and talking about Detroit. I think what's going to be very, very interesting is going to be able to see the real value Tortorella either brings to the table or doesn't. Because the two teams that you just talked about, Detroit, the Devils year after year, Pittsburgh certainly at the end of the season, if your team, if the chemistry of your team believes the system they're playing, you want to know why the Devils are good no matter what? Because the Devils are seriously a bunch of interchangeable parts. They play a system. They play it from the minors. They play it into the NHL level. You know, it's just like the Patriots in football, you know, on defense with Belichick, okay? If the Rangers buy into Tortorella's system, you should see a better power play. You should see much more forward puck movement. You know, under Rennie, those guys basically, they had to play so defensive-minded and so concerned about making one mistake because they weren't going to score any goals. It changes the whole paradigm of how a player plays.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, that's...
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that the Rangers are buying into this system because, you know, the ones that are stuck around, they know that the old what they were doing wasn't working.
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, you know, we're going to see it. You know, you got to give it maybe 20, 25 games, but we're going to see it. I mean, I'm not predicting it's going to happen. I happen to like Tortorella. I happen to like aggressive style. Look, the only cup we've won in, what, 60-something years now was when we had the Mad Dog at the helm. You know, he almost killed us, but every night you went out and you either killed yourself or you sat.
Right.
Well, he's right. I mean, Keenan had him riding the bikes after the game, win or lose. It's, you know, I agree with him there. Listen, we had the guy, the disciplinarian back there. We need a little bit of that. I'm sick of the ready player friendly. You know that it goes. You know, listen, it goes some. It does serve a purpose. There were a lot of guys who improved skill wise and learned about their position, but. Bottom line is we need wins, we need playoff wins, and that was not happening under Rennie and Tortorella. It's a change. We need a change. We got it. And just in that, we got to be happy.
Hey, Jim.
Look at guys, just real quick, and then I'll go because I know you're wrapping up the show. But just look at the change in Dubinsky at the end of the year and in Callahan. You know, those guys bought into the system. And, you know, Callahan, God love him. I wish he had 3 or 4 inches in height and another 25 pounds because he's going to get killed if he keeps playing the way he plays. But if people believe in the system, if they move and they skate and they don't stand around and wait for the puck to get to them, you're going to see a lot of positives that are going to come out of it. And I will let you guys go, so I'm going to sign off and you guys can finish your show.
All right, Dan, I'll call you after the show.
All right.
Sorry,
all right, guys.
Up, Joe's so dad. Hey, I know you're running low on time. I wanted to ask you guys, honestly, Olympic year, Lundqvist, how many games do you guys honestly think that hopefully we're going to see Valiquette play this year?
Well, I think that the advantage the Rangers have a little bit this year is that with the Olympics being here, there'll be less travel time. I think that'll work to their advantage. I still think Valiquette will probably play somewhere, I'm thinking between 15 and 20 games. That's my guess. But, you know, it also depends on the Rangers' position as the season goes along. You know, Tortorella is one of his favorite sayings, and he used it a lot last year, is that when you have a championship horse, you don't leave him in the stable. And I think he'll ride Lundqvist until Lundqvist is on the verge of collapse.
Right.
You know, he'll give, you know, but, you know, the schedule, we've talked about this before, the schedule is so compressed because of the Olympics. You know, the Rangers are playing a lot of, quite a couple of back-to-back games and, you know, every other day at some points. So it's something they're going to have to keep an eye on. And part of me says that Valiquette's going to play between 15 and 20 games. And then the other part of me says, you know, Tortorella might just ride Lundqvist until he until he drops, and you know he may play 70 games. Who knows? I think a lot of it will have to, if the Rangers can get out of the gate strong, and playing well. I think that'll help. That can only help Lundqvist get more rest as the season goes along. If
did,
they
did
come out and
struggling last year,
are you saying did he, or are you saying he did look tired?
I personally think Lundqvist was exhausted by the end of the year. And that's
his glove hand looked tired in those playoffs.
He was very tired, but again, and this comes back to a point that I made before, he was quoted as saying that ever when John Tortorella came back, he got a lot more rest during games because they weren't playing defense so much.
Right.
And I think that one of the knocks on Tortorella, at least in my book, is he has no problem riding a goalie into the ground. And
right.
Unfortunately for the New York Rangers, Henrik Lundqvist is the prize jewel that if you do ride into the ground, there are some serious problems. So for me, Valiquette should play 15 to 20 games, and the Olympics might help him do that. But on the other hand, I don't know if he will. Tortorella might ride him, and I hope he doesn't.
Right. Yeah, that, it's definitely been one of my questions. And, you know, there's not many goalies out there that get ridden that hard anymore. I mean, if you look at Boston last year, didn't Tim Thomas win the trophy last year? And I mean, and he did split some time with Manny Fernandez over there. But you know, like goalies like Kiprusoff, you know, he's another one. I thought he fizzled out. I thought he was just Keenan rode him like a horse. And I know you're running out of time, Jim, but I just think it's a very important topic for the New York Rangers. And you know, the point is, it's very good, Joe. You know, maybe with a different style, he doesn't work as hard. But still, I think we have to get Valiquette to that 20-game mark. I personally feel that 20 games should be, you know, his mark. By the end of the season, Valiquette should have played 20 games to give Lundqvist some kind of breath and energy, because when you get into the finals here, we're playing every other night, you know, they say the season after the season, that's where we
right.
need Lundqvist to be fresh.
Tim Thomas, just real quick on Tim Thomas. He only played 54 games last year.
Right.
He won 36 of them.
But the Bruins were a great team last year. I mean, that helps when it comes to numbers that a goalie has.
I just want to say I'm a lawyer. Anyway, it really depends on how the Rangers play. If the Rangers need Hank every night, he's going to play. If they're a good team that can beat, you know, can have a chance every night straight up, then you're going to see Valiquette play 20 to 30 games. But if they need Hank back there every night, he's going to ride him till the guy is completely collapsed on the ice. That's my point. Thank you for having me on, fellas. I got to go. I hear the ice cream man.
Mouth.
Good night, Mouth.
Hey, guys, I'll let you go. I know you got 2 minutes left, man. Thanks again, and I'll check you out. I'll talk to Mouth tomorrow, and we'll see you next Monday.
All right. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it. Yeah, we got 2 minutes left to wrap up the show. Tomorrow night, Ranger Crisis Radio. I think I saw in the chat room that Mouth is just going to take phone calls tomorrow night. He was expecting former Ranger Ulf Nielsen to join him, and I guess Ulfie backed out. So Mouth will be taking phone calls. And I tell you what, if you want to talk to a guy that knows old Ranger history, he's your guy. You know, you can call him up and talk just about anything. He does a great show. I'll probably call in. I usually do. And other than that, Joe, is there anything else? We got about a minute to go before we get to the plugs.
You know, just wanted to thank you all for listening in. And remember, this week obviously was a Wednesday. Next week's show is a Wednesday. The week after that is a Monday. And then Tuesdays till April. So Tuesday. So
you got it. Yeah,
remember that.
We are scheduled in with Blog Talk Radio Tuesday nights right through the end of the regular season. I've already got it set up. Like I said, make sure you check out rangercrisis.com. Don't forget Laurie over at Beyond the Blue Shirts, Dave Shapiro over at Blue Seat Blogs, Steve over at NY Ranger Cast, Ryan at Atlantic Ranger, and also Nick at Rangers Tribune. And we once again, we want to thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Next week, don't forget, we have Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park is going to join us, talk about some prospects, take your calls. And then the following week, the Monday night show that Joe was talking about, we are going to be joined by Jim Cerny from Rangers.com. I'm really looking forward to that as well. I think that's going to be a fun night with him. And we'll stay on the Brandon Dubinsky watch any day now. We're gonna have good news. So don't worry about it, guys. But for now, Joe, pleasure. Glad to have you back.
Good to be back, yeah.
You were missed. Your fill-ins did a great job last week, but like I said, there's only one Jolton Joe Fortunato.
There better be one Jolton Joe Fortunato.
That's it, everybody. We will see you next Wednesday night. Have a great night.
All right, thank you.